interrogation is the theme. This is the social engineering panel, and it's on a Friday for the first time. We figured we'd have it on a Friday because things are still open, and that might be a little bit more productive as far as making phone calls. But also, we just want to get it out of the way because we have so many other things to do. Most of us are heavily involved in
running the conference, and we've already had all kinds of things that we've had to deal with. So. Forgive us if we sound a little frantic and might not be as successful getting people to give us all kinds of information they're not supposed to give us as we might be. But we're going to do our best. We're going to try. We're going to talk about what social engineering is and how it can be used in positive ways, how it can be used in bad ways. Basically, just to first of all, I'm Emmanuel. This is Alex, Kyle, Cheshire. We've all been on this panel before. Social engineering is basically the art of getting people to give you information that they really should not give you. You've all been the target of social engineering when somebody calls you and tries to get you to do something, whether it's give out your credit card number or have access to your computer. Most of us are smart enough to realize when something like this is happening or to at least ask for more information so that you don't get victimized. But many people and a lot of corporations are not, and that's one of the things that we hope to demonstrate. We just want to test out the phone, though, and we're going to do a little exercise before we actually begin by calling three corporate giants. Now, Kyle, this was your idea to call Verizon, AT&T, and Spectrum Cable, three of our favorite corporations, and just see how long it takes to get a human being when you call them. And on some of these, we might not ever get a human being, so we're going to have to have a cutoff of some kind, or we're just going to be here all night. So shall we start with Verizon?
Yeah, let's do it.
They're headquartered right here in New York, and I just dial this thing. It'll work? Okay, cool. Oh, their number's public. What we have? Oh, and we need a stop. I'm sorry, we need a stopwatch. You got that?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Could it be they're not home? Wait, how did they not answer the... This is literally Verizon corporate headquarters. Okay, well, what do you do in a situation like this?
You have reached the Verizon corporate office. We are sorry no one was able to answer your phone call. Please leave your name.
Hold on. I'm hitting star.
Enter your ID followed by pound.
Okay, well, 2600, of course.
Enter your PIN followed by pound.
Did she not hear me? Do it again.
Invalid entry. Enter your ID followed by pound.
Okay, I seem to be in a loop. What?
1001.
Set an ID.
Enter your PIN followed by pound.
Oh, my PIN now.
1001. Invalid entry. Enter your ID followed by pound.
So you want me to do 1001 as both the PIN and the ID?
Enter your
That's
PIN
the idea.
Followed
okay.
by pound. Invalid entry.
Welcome to the Verizon voicemail system. If you have a mailbox on the system, please press pound. To leave a message for an employee...
Okay, I have a mailbox
please.
Somewhere.
Enter your ID, followed by
okay,
pound.
Okay, we're back to her. All right, you know what? We've sort of moved away from social engineering and moved straight into just plain old hacking.
It's a warm-up. It's a warm-up.
Let's see if we do any better with AT&T. I thought we'd at least get some kind of voice processing system, but... And this is somewhere in Texas.
Thank you for calling AT&T, where our vision is to connect people with their world everywhere they live and work, and do it better than anyone else. Don't forget to inquire about UBurst availability in your area.
Pretty long slogan you
Please
got there.
Please listen carefully to the following options before making your selection. If you are calling about residential service, press 1. If you are calling about business service, press 2. If you are calling about wireless service, press 3. If you are calling about DirecTV service, press 4. For AT&T Human Resources and Personnel Issues, please press 5. If you were calling about an AT&T corporate matter, shareholder services, financial reporting, or you are a vendor who would like to do business with AT&T,
I just wanted the damn operator.
Please press 6. If you were calling for AT&T executive offices, press 7.
What should I hit? I was going to hit 0. Is that okay?
7.
7?
If this is a wireless or mobility complaint, press 1. If this is a consumer residential or small business complaint, press 2. If this is a DirecTV complaint, press 3.
I'm just not feeling well. How about that? 0. Okay. Maybe 0.
So we're at about a minute.
Yeah.
Welcome to AT&T. Para español, oprime el 8.
Hit 2. No, don't hit 2.
I'm not hitting anything until they tell me to do something.
Calls recorded for quality.
Are you calling about the account associated?
Okay, so we hear a bunch of ads now.
212-643-2361.
Is that a phone number they gave us? Oh, this is a good way to get ANAC. Wow. I don't care if they know our phone number. What are they going to do?
Call us.
Call the phone. Wow.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, thousands
of people.
In order
to get you to a representative who is trained to help with your specific issue, I need to get your account number. Are you calling about the account associated with the number?
I'm just going
to
keep hitting 0 if something happens.
Yeah, I like doing that. Just 0.
How can I help you today?
Are you a human? I don't think you're a human. Alexa?
I'm sorry, but I picked up some background noise.
How can I help you today?
Okay, let's just get our parameters straight here. Are you a person or are you a computer?
2 minutes.
Take your time.
2 minutes. This does not count as an operator.
I don't think
Would you like to make a payment? Get technical support?
Yeah, I want to pay
How
you.
How else can I help you?
Get lost.
Sorry.
Sorry for wasting your time.
That's all they care about.
Okay, one more. Spectrum Cable, and then we'll be done with this. These guys are in Connecticut, and everybody in New York City hates them because they used to be called Time Warner Cable, and they got so unpopular they had to change their name. Remember, you could just dial 0 and get an
I'm
operator?
I'm looking for the best way to route your call.
How about 0?
Just a moment, and I'll connect you to someone who can help you with your AT&T service. Please
Wait,
note
how'd I get AT&T
quality
again?
And verification. We may monitor
you gotta hang up.
I hung up. I know how to hang up a phone.
No, you need a real strong, right, confident hang up. Like, we're done here.
Okay, I've got a dial tone, so. It's a nightmare not being able to get rid of AT&T.
They want that payment.
Okay.
Thank you for calling.
Spectrum Cable.
Office of Charter. The office is open 8 a.m. until 5 p.m. Monday through Friday.
Who's this?
If you already know your party's extension number, you may dial it at any time during this message.
I can barely hear her.
If you know your party's name and would like to use the spell by name directory.
Pending 0.
Thank you for calling the Corporate Office of Charter. The office is open
Charter?
8 a.m. until 5 p.m.
Monday yeah, Charter on Spectrum. Stay with it. That just happened 2 hours ago.
Family tree of corporations.
I can't hear what she's saying. Is she?
1 minute.
I'm hitting 0 again.
Thank you for calling the Corporate Office of Charter.
You cannot be transferred to this number.
Oh.
Check the number and try again.
Thank you for calling the Corporate Office of Charter.
Okay, well, I think the point's been made. We're getting nowhere. So anyway, this is just an example of how difficult it is to reach human beings. And we're going to see this as we try to do social engineering exercises, that sometimes you just can't reach a person. You get voicemail. It's very hard, even getting a landline half the time. But we still have our success stories, and hopefully we'll have a few tonight. But before we get into that, I think we should just go up and down the panel, talking about maybe some past experiences with social engineering. I know, Alex, you had something interesting you wanted to share.
I did. Okay. All right. I think the statute of limitations has passed by now. It was something to build off what you said as well, Emmanuel, where we mentioned that we've all been social engineered before. You may have been slightly social engineered by me back in the 90s. I had this interesting experience back in, I don't know, it must have been 1994, 1995. This is back when things like modems existed, and you would scan 800 numbers to look for carriers for various, you know, Linux or Unix systems that were connected to an actual modem. And it was back in the days when voicemail boxes and voicemail box systems were something to be coveted if you could hack into them and get yourself a voicemail box. There was one particular company whose voicemail system was perniciously invaded by, I would say, I don't know, 50 or 60 phone freaks who took over the administrator box. And, you know, a lot of people are probably too young to remember the old days of voicemail box hacking, but it's also how people exchanged codes back in the day, where you would call up and on the outgoing message of a hidden voicemail box somewhere would be calling card numbers or secret phone numbers that you could call, diverters that you could use to mask your ANI, your caller ID information, and route your call through various systems so that it would be more difficult to trace if you were doing some phone freaking, let's say, and you needed to do it from your home. Anyhow, this particular company was very well compromised. They didn't know what to do. They reported this to AT&T Corporate Security, who then dutifully began logging all of the numbers that were calling and logging into these voicemail boxes, after which they would disconnect your 800 service, your Watts 800 service, and send you a letter in the mail. And you would get this threatening letter in the mail from AT&T Corporate Security, headquartered somewhere down in New Jersey. I remember it was a 201 area code. And you would have to call them and tell them that you received this letter, and nobody, just as we had demonstrated, even back then, nobody ever answered the phone. You would have to leave a message. And so you call up and say, you know, hi, my name's Alex. I got this letter in the mail. I'm terrified of you. Please call me back. And you know, eventually somebody will call you back and, you know, tell you you shouldn't be doing what you're doing. And then they'll make a determination as to whether you get your 800 service back. So, you know, a lot of people's parents were very concerned when they would be getting these particular letters, but when I called back the AT&T corporate security voicemail, I realized as I was leaving a message, it wasn't actually a voicemail box, it was an answering machine. And you could tell pretty easily. And I had an AT&T answering machine at home as well. And I knew that the remote access code for my AT&T answering machine was 10.
10.
Yes, 10. So I just said, you know, let me try. There's no way this will work. And it let me right in, of course.
It didn't work. You'd try 11.
And then I'd try 11, of course. Yeah, but 10, the default code, actually worked. And so then I got to listen to all of these messages from hackers and phone freaks all over the country who were terrified to have received these particular letters. And then I took their phone numbers and then called them back as AT&T Corporate Security. And then I got them to disclose what they did, make sure they apologized, and read them the Riot Act. I needed to talk to their parents and then get them back on the phone. And then I would tell them, actually, I'm just another phone freak. And, you know, if you want to listen to the messages too, the code is 10. So yeah, you may have heard my voice back in the 90s. I'm sure some of you have. Anyway, that's a just sort of amusing anecdote, but it goes to show you that with just a little bit of skill, it didn't really take a whole hell of a lot of hacking skill or knowledge in order to figure out what this remote access code was. And even those in charge of security are not necessarily always thinking of it. So.
Interesting, because that reminds me of something that I went through back in the 1980s. I don't know if I've ever actually told this story, but I'm pretty sure whatever statutes are up by now, hopefully. We found the voicemail system, too, but it was before anyone had even used the word voicemail. Anyone out there ever hear of IBM's audio distribution service, ADS?
No.
You've actually heard of this. It ran on a mainframe, and it was run by IBM. And one day, I just was scanning 800 numbers, because that's what you do when you're bored. And I dialed 1-800-426, which is IBM, actually, is the exchange, 2222. Wasn't very imaginative. And I got this recording, this computer voice saying, authorization code, please. Please key press your last name. That's what she said. Last name, what was that? You know. So I basically entered a last name until it spoke out someone's last name. And I believe the first name I entered was Gary Smith, or that's the name I got. And I figured out his password, which was the same as the extension, as we were just trying now. That was the ADS discovery. I was able to get mailboxes for other people. I think we phone freaks used that system more than IBM ever did. Because we met other bands of hackers on the system. We just sort of crossed paths and was like, oh, you've got these mailboxes, we've got these ones, and this guy hasn't logged in for like 6 months, so he's not using it. And so we were able, before long distance calls were cheap, they were very expensive back then, before there were voicemail systems, before there was even the internet, we were able to go to payphones, dial 800 numbers, and exchange messages back and forth in our voices. And then that led us to use a system, again, pre-internet, a packet switch network called Telenet, and we used a system on there called Telemail. They were the company that used the default password of the letter A. Single letter A. So I was able to get all kinds of accounts through that. And then we had a way of having what we thought of as a BBS, except you didn't have to wait for the busy signal to go away. You were able to just call a local number and enter a message to somebody else who called the local number. And it was a really kind of a cool way to communicate. Unfortunately for us, the FBI was tracking this. They weren't tracking the ADS. They were tracking the telemail. And apparently all kinds of people, some malicious and some not malicious, which were basically the people that I hung out with, were all kind of caught up in the same net. We had a phone freak who was able to decode touch tones by ear. You know people like this? They can say, yeah, that's a 5, that's a 7. And this guy was listening in on a conference call once with a friend of ours when he entered his ADS mailbox, and he heard his password. And one day, he needed to get into that account to erase a message that he had accidentally sent to that person. And when he got into that mailbox, he heard a bunch of outgoing messages to the system operator of the ADS system, basically turning us all in. And we knew, wow, this guy's a narc. And we found out in a really kind of a cool way. But the system operator hadn't yet heard the message, so we still had some time to figure out what to do. He had left a phone number for an FBI special agent for her to call. Her name was Lee. And I realized, and this was literally right before 2600 started coming out. This was 1983. I realized, you know, this FBI special agent doesn't know that Lee is male or female. So I said, what the hell? What have we got to lose? We're going to get turned in anyway. I called the FBI special agent and said, hey, it's Lee here. I believe you've been expecting my phone call. And sure enough, Special Agent Mark Hopper. Wow, I can't believe I remember his name. God. I probably shouldn't mention
it. I don't know if you should be mentioning names, Emmanuel.
No, well, I...
It was a long time ago.
1983, for God's sake.
Sometimes a good memory is a bad thing.
You're tired by now.
I called, and we had a 45-minute conversation about the entire investigation. And if you look at the first issue of 2600, we pretty much summarize it all there. And the entire case was blown as a result of this. I don't know what happened to him. He might have been transferred to another office. And a bunch of months later, I was actually still involved in the telemail indictments, and I was indicted. I had to appear in court. I talked to a room full of FBI agents to tell them certain hints to make things more secure, like don't use letter A. Use 2 A's. I don't know, anything would be better. And one of them came up to me and said, that was really funny what you did when you called as Lee. And they had egg on their faces, but they were had enough integrity to admit it and to realize that we weren't bad people, that we just didn't want to wind up in prison for using voicemail. So, you know, it could have gone a bad way, and I think today it would have gone a bad way, because anybody who does anything outside the rules is a terrorist. And I think, you know, if we deal with things in a slightly more mature manner and listen to what people are saying, listen to what kids are doing when they actually breach your security, you might learn something and you might steer them onto a better path. I'm not sure if they think I went onto a better path, but I like where I wound up, and, that's always one of my fondest memories, and hopefully relating it doesn't put me in prison. Kyle, do you have a story?
I racked my brain. I feel a little rusty. I don't have a specific story to tell necessarily. Something might come to mind as an example, but I feel like collectively we're all a little bit rusty with the prevalence of systems like IVR and fake customer service or operators. It's mostly out of necessity, and I think anyone would... Say, as far as organizing an event, there's plenty of social engineering that goes on to make that happen. And I myself made a lot of phone calls and stuff and helping to organize with our team here. But for day-to-day life, I think being able to speak with someone, I've said this before too, also listening and empathy are really important. But out of necessity, just to get things done in life, we need to be able to talk to these people, understand what kind of environment they're in, if they're in a call center, if they're a small company or a larger company, or if they're in some chain of bureaucracy. Just navigating that is difficult. And then, so, you know, the empathy and those tips for like reading people and listening, that's like out the window if you're talking to a robot. And so just navigating past anything like that or finding numbers where there's actually someone to talk to and read and thus enroll them in your problem or your issue, it's that much harder to get through those layers of filter for their internal systems. And I don't know what else to say. I think that it's about calling back multiple times too, because oftentimes these systems are obtuse. Like we were pressing zero, trying to get through, trying to make the system. If you don't necessarily understand what kind of system or how it works or what's kind of locked down and preventing you, try to make it break or otherwise get transferred to someone. If you call a couple times, you start speaking their language, you start hearing who's there and what's going on, and especially getting through. So in a lot of those cases where I'm actually talking to people and getting things done or slowly getting a little bit more attention, a little bit more understanding of why they're not able to help me in one way, you can call back and refer to other calls. I do that a lot. I don't know, layering up your experience with this organization slowly gets you through the kind of difficulties.
Just Kyle, you set up this phone line. Just getting this phone line, the many phone calls you had to make to Verizon to get them to do the right thing. You had to call back. They'd listen to the story, put you on hold, and someone else would come on who had never heard the story before. He had to tell the story again, and this went on literally for hours just to get the damn phone line installed. It's weird when you have to social engineer yourself when you're legitimately entitled to the information.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's kind of my point, is that like just to get what needs to be done, you need to recharacterize. You need, I know multiple conferences for this specific phone line we've put in multiple tickets. I think this one had one or two tickets. And it's also, you have like, for instance, this is a very large building. You have an excellent hotel staff. They support us. They want to help out, but they're not obligated in the way that Verizon is obligated to provide service. So, you know, we had difficulties. They pulled out some lines here since 2 years ago, and those situations. Then, you know, you get offers, you get opportunities to maybe, oh, we'll do this instead because it's so hard. Well, we're familiar with how hard it is. So you kind of have to lean on the firm that's obligated, in this case Verizon, and get your representatives, the people that are advocating for you in the context of an event, like, you know, the management, conference management, who are really excellent people. If you see anyone from Hotel Pennsylvania staff, thank them, because they are really outstanding people. A lot of them met with technicians here when I was unable to be on site. That is above and beyond the kind of help that we get to organize this, and they want to do everything they can, but it's not on them. It's on Verizon. We've already paid for it. You know, it is completely asinine to not actually be able to get through. And especially in the city, I've learned just how complex getting lines run and stuff is. Just, it's a nightmare sometimes.
All right, Cheshire.
Yes, Heather.
You have anything to add, and then we'll try to use the phone a little bit.
Oh, all of my hacks are so old now. I'm retired, living in Florida. This white hair, not from age, of course. I live in Florida, so it's sun bleached. That's my story, and I'm sticking to it. But you know, back in the day, I would call up folks at CompSat General when I was hacking the Marisat, the Maritime Communications Satellite. They had no clue how I got in. They didn't know if I had my own Earth station, if I was trying to blow up their satellite or what. AT&T had lied to them. and told them that the Twix teletype network is in no way connected with the phone network, so nobody could possibly get in that way. But it was totally integrated. They translated all those funny area codes, 910, 510, 610, they're now integrated in the phone network. But in those days, those are the special area codes for the Twix teletype network. I found that 510 went to independent telcos, like where I was in Rochester, New York. And those dastards at Rochester Telephone, the nation's largest independent telco, wouldn't put up a whole new telephone exchange for a Pa Bell Playtoy. No, they'll translate it. And I found the exchange as the last four digits of the Twix number, dialed up, ring, click, handed in the acoustic coupler, 110 baud, half duplex, and I was a Twix machine. I wound up with a list of 40 cities I could directly dial Twix machines in, including New York. So when Marisat installed a Twix line to reach the ships at sea via the Maritime Communications Satellite, it was just 640-5920, ring, click, handset, acoustic coupler, 110 baud, half duplex. Hi, this is Cheshire, a computer hacker in New York City. Does anyone have time to sit and chat out there? Who am I reaching? A ship's radio operator, hundreds of miles at sea, absolutely nothing to do but sit and chat, especially on someone else's nickel. So I'm talking to this one guy on an Italian ship one day, and he says, you know, RCA gave me these Unicode things that I'm supposed to reach my home office with, and I can't figure out how to use them. So I type back, mom, please, M-O-M-P-L-S, the official telex abbreviation for one moment, please. Dig out my RCA global communications literature, because I'm sitting in New York City. I have all the publicly available information on how to use the system. Oh, just take the carrier ID thumb wheel, turn it to 2 for RCA, then type 1 plus, and it'll take you right back to your home office. And I can just imagine at ComStat General. Now, they get the monthly report of the answer backs that they don't know where to bill. And what answer back am I using? TWX space, the letter R, the number 4 space, P-H-R-E-A-K-S. Twix are for freaks. I've always imagined the when the report comes out, quick, pull the mag tapes. And they pull the mag tapes for the date of my transmissions, and they generate a printout. They run it up. They look it up. Holy crap. By the way, this was in the day of when they weren't sure of how well the system worked. So they did record every keystroke on mag tape. In case of a problem, they could go back. So they went and looked. Crap. He's blowing our system security all to hell and gone. But he's being friendly? They never could figure me out.
Kindness goes a long way when you're doing these kinds of things.
Yeah.
One thing I was reminded of also is when we were thinking about this and what to say, was how important it is to lean on people's willingness to help you. Not necessarily asking them or telling them this is going to happen or we're going to do something, so you need to comply. That's very aggressive. But, you know, I'm trying to figure something out and it's not really working. And
there's a problem with your system and I'm trying to help you figure that out.
Well, and also my system's slow, where it's, mm-hmm. I keep refresh. We've been having problems all morning, that kind of thing. But really looking for that, like, empathy, the reason for them to step forward, you know, go a little further and help you out because of your predicament. Right. And, of course, then adding a little twist of, like, it's in their interest, too. You know, that is always very helpful. But I feel like also we got to make more phone calls, though, because I want to say that one more time, because it's I hope not a lost art. People aren't talking on the phone as much, let alone being, real phone sharks, I guess, social engineers, you know.
Yeah, phone is always going to be kind of the tool of choice. Texting isn't as interesting.
But, you know, to build off what Kyle had mentioned there, too, is that I think is sort of critical to social engineering, and I think we'll probably demonstrate this very shortly, is that I've always found that if you have one piece of information, literally just one piece of information that an ordinary stranger off the street wouldn't necessarily know, that can get you extraordinarily far if you know how to exploit it. To give you an indication, and this is sort of more of sort of social engineering or sort of playing a prank on a friend. I'm a lawyer. I went to law school in Vermont, and some friends of mine from Vermont were visiting me when I was clerking for a judge down in D.C. And they came and they checked into a hotel, and it was a husband and wife. The husband's last name was McGregor, and the wife's last name was Green. So they had two different names. I knew they checked in under Green. So I decided I was going to try to manipulate them a little bit when they checked into the hotel. And I asked for their room. They answer the phone. And the man answers the phone, the husband. And I know the room is listed under Green. So I said, you know, hi, Mr. Green. I'm calling from the front desk. How can I help? You know, we saw that you just checked in, because the desk clerk also told me, oh, yes, they just checked in. So I was able to use that piece of information. So now I knew two pieces of information, that they checked in and it was under Mr. and it was under Green. And when I called him Mr. Green, he would have immediately just assumed subconsciously only somebody at the hotel would know that this was under Green. But yet his wife had told me. So I said, you know, we want to make sure everything is up to spec for you. Do you have enough towels? Did your luggage come up? And he said, well, yeah, everything's great here. The room's wonderful, but, you know, our luggage hasn't arrived. And I said, excuse me? What the fuck do you mean your luggage hasn't arrived? And he said, well, no, we just got here. The bell was ringing. I was like, that guy is fucking terrible. I'm going to fire. I'm so sorry about this, Mr. We're going to beat his ass. Don't you worry about it. And he's like, I'm sorry. You know, I'm sorry. You know, he's coming. He's coming. It's going to be fine. He did nothing wrong. We literally just got here. I said, it doesn't matter, Mr. Green. How can we compensate you for this? We'd like to comp your meal tonight at the hotel restaurant. He said, I don't need this. I don't need this. And frankly, I'm offended by being welcomed to the hotel with profanity. And so, you know, eventually, you know, he hung up. And before I could tell him, it's Alex, it's me, he hung up, and he had already called the front desk and complained about being welcomed to the hotel with profanity. When I called back and his wife answered, I said, hey, is Forrest there? And she said, did you just call before? That wasn't you, was it? And I said, no, what happened? She said, you're not going to believe what just happened. I said, don't tell me that somebody called up asking and cursing about your luggage being missing. She said, she said her husband was going to kill me. But it's a way of manipulating people. Two little pieces of information can go a really, really long way if somebody thinks that nobody but an insider would have that little tidbit. So it's exploiting subconscious.
We have to make some phone calls. Yeah, because but what you say is very true. And the information I have, well, first of all, fear is a very good motivating factor. Yeah. So I just found out there's a storm coming to the area. There's a big nor'easter. We don't usually get those in the summer, but it's going to be, oh man, it's going to be raining and thundering tomorrow. So I thought it'd be fun to call a homeowners association out in the Hamptons and tell them that there's a major storm coming. There's a tidal wave, actually, on the way. And they need to evacuate the entire community. And this is funny, because a weekend, the Hamptons, they need to evacuate into, like, the inner part of the island. And
I'm gonna just stop you there. I don't really think that that's a wonderful idea. I mean,
don't think that's a wonderful idea.
As a lawyer, I would probably tell you this sort of equivalent of yelling fire. Would you yell fire in this room?
If it was on fire, I'd yell fire. Why does nobody ever make that distinction?
That's exactly my point. I really don't think the tidal wave thing is a good idea. I think we should stop that.
No.
I think we should focus.
You might have a point.
Yeah.
We'll never know.
You know, these poor people in the Hamptons, you know, they can barely afford gas.
How about this? How about this? Just for, see if this this fits your quality, your standards. You guys heard about there's a steam pipe explosion downtown? Yeah, asbestos cloud everywhere.
This doesn't sound any better.
Don't you just love coming to New York?
I think you can turn in your clothes to Con Ed or something.
Literally, that is true. That is something they've been saying. If you live in the area and want to, why do they want your clothes?
To test it or to prevent you from filing a class action. I don't know.
All right. So we take an event that's actually happening, people know about, people have heard about, so that makes things more believable. So if I call somebody and say I'm calling from Con Ed, they're more likely to believe me because of what's going on in the area. So have a particular business to call. It's located in the Trump Tower. And No, I'm not messing with the president, because he's got nothing to do with the Trump Tower anymore, right? That's separate.
Divested.
Different people. Okay, let's see what we have here.
Sorry, Trump Grill is not available. Record your message at the time.
the Trump grill is not available. It's okay. There's plenty of other businesses there that I can pester.
I wasn't hungry anyway.
Always have a backup plan.
Yes, hi, I'm calling from Con Ed concerning steam pipe inspections in your area. You should have received the call earlier.
This is a cafe. I think you should have called the office number. So it's the same number, but just dial 7290 at the end.
This is the number we were given concerning access to the sub-basement. Is that something we go through your establishment for?
So I have no idea.
Can you give us a name of somebody that we can talk to?
I don't know who you need to speak to, but I'm going to give, that's the number for the office, and whoever answers will be able to help you.
Okay, so can you give me that number?
It's the same number, but just the last four is 7290.
Got it. Okay, thank you.
No problem.
All right.
It's the same number. It's the same number, but a different number. She basically is telling me the extension is different. So you have to kind of understand what people are trying to tell you. We'll try this, see if this works.
Office restaurant is not available.
You see,
this is what I'm talking about. You can never reach humans anymore. It's such a it makes social engineering something you can't just do in 1 hour. But we have something else too. There's this resort down in where is this in Florida? Hold on. What? It's got nothing to do with him. And we happen to know the last name of the manager there. We also happen to know that the manager is on vacation. So we might be able to...
Thank you for calling Reception Maine. This call is being recorded. If you do not wish to be recorded, please disconnect at this time.
Yeah, welcome to this era.
Security, how can I help you?
Yeah, I'm looking for Mr. Lemke.
1 second.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling Baron Lemke.
Maybe I'll get voicemail. After four rings, you usually get voicemail.
Hello, this is Bernd Lemke. I'm away from my desk. Please leave me a message.
Okay, he's on vacation, so hopefully he's having a nice time. We can't reach a person there, but if we were to keep trying, we'd probably get somebody. The goal there was to find somebody that has authority to do things. Say that we just had talked to Mr. Lemke maybe a couple of weeks ago, and he said it was okay to take a tour, can we do that tomorrow? Well, he's not around. He's on vacation, so he can't answer. So somebody else, knowing that I know the name, I'm giving them information that I would have if I knew what I was talking about, and they might be persuaded to actually make an exception to their usual rules and give me a tour. There's no guarantee, but if you reach a person, it's entirely possible. It's very hard to social engineer when you get voicemail, when people aren't talking directly to each other. But I'm going to try one more thing, and then I'm going to let Alex try something, because I know he's got an idea. There's this amazing service called the Do Not Call Registry, and that's where telemarketers won't call you. But sometimes you can use the Do Not Call Registry in ways in which it was not intended. And I'm going to try and hopefully get through to a person to see if that's true here.
Hello?
Yes, hi, this is Frank from the Do Not Call Registry. You requested to be registered to not receive calls from telemarketers, is that true?
We didn't do any of those, so don't call back.
Okay, well, we need to get your information so that we can tell telemarketers not to call you.
Did he hang up?
Okay. Wow, that didn't work. Okay, I guess I was trying to help him, but he didn't stay on long enough to realize that I was trying to help him. But the idea, and this has worked before, you tell people that you want to help them not get calls from telemarketers, but in order to do that, you need their information. You need their name, their address, other phone numbers, any other family members, and people are very willing to give you this information if it leads to a desired result, as in not getting calls like the one you're on right now. It does work. It has worked. It's something that doesn't always work, and you can't guarantee it. Now, Alex, you have something, though. This is bound to be fun, because we get phone calls a lot from fake Microsoft support and fake fake IRS people. Which one do you want to try?
Well, here's an interesting one. So, and part of the point of this, too, is sort of an intelligence-gathering operation. One of the things we do in our law firm is scan the DNS for threats, and we find all these fake sites that offer support for various products. And then we need to figure out how they work so that we can help protect our clients. This one is kind of interesting. It's a Gmail account helpline. And the way they describe it, actually, is so sort of, I think, appropriate. They note that it's a one-way solution for Gmail. And we've got this Gmail help number here, and I think we should call it and try to see how it works.
Who the hell needs help with Gmail?
That's a very good question. I know.
There's no help for you.
It's also, they say, claim it's 24/7. Oh, Christ.
Yeah.
Your call is very important to us. Please stay on the line and you'll be transferred to the next available agent.
Certainly.
We're calling Support Center. This is Jason. How can I help you?
Yeah, Jason, hi. I came across. I'm trying. I need some help with my Gmail.
What is the problem, Tommy?
I can't seem to log in. And so I found this help number. So this is really fast. You guys answered the phone so quickly. Usually when I call Apple and stuff, I'm on the line for like 20 minutes.
No, but definitely I'll help you out.
Fantastic.
What is...
Because I really need to get into this. I've got backed up customers, and it's like... I'm kind of stressed, so sorry.
Okay. Can you please confirm me your email address?
Sure. It's a little repetitive, but it's Ralph. Do you know how to spell that? R-A-L-P-H? Mm-hmm. Ralph at Gmail. Mm-hmm. So it's Ralph, R-A-L-P-H, and then again, R-A-L-P-H, and then R-A-L-P-H. @gmail.com.
And you are the account holder of this email address?
Absolutely, I'm Ralph.
Can you confirm me your full name?
Ralph Guile, G-U-I-L-E.
G-U-I-L-E?
That's right. Guile. Ralph.
Can you confirm your date of birth to where ID card?
Sure. That's September 1st, 1977. Going to be 41. Can't believe it. Where's the time go?
Let's see what you're using to check your email. Is that a desktop or it's a laptop?
It's, what's the difference? It's on the desk. Oh, no, it's a laptop on my desk. It's a laptop.
And what is the issue that you're having getting into your email on the laptop?
It's telling me the password doesn't work.
What was the last time you have logged into this email address?
Yesterday.
Did you try to reset the password?
I don't think so. Can you do that for me now?
Your laptop in.
What?
In order to help you out.
What do you need to do?
I need to get connected with your laptop.
Oh, you do?
To help you out.
Oh, okay. So how do we do this? Because it's actually kind of important. I need to do this pretty quickly. I've got literally 11 minutes to get something done.
Now, is that your personal computer or are you at the work right now?
Am I at work? No, this is personal. But I use it for work, too, so it's got some... Hello? We got disconnected somehow. Oh, you got to be kidding.
Really?
Phone line just went dead.
Those guys are good.
Oh, yeah, anyhow. Well, that...
Thanks, Verizon.
They were... Yeah, we got disconnected.
What was
so
your
sorry.
End game there? Where were you
the
going
end
with
game,
this guy?
The end game was that he was going to give me what looked like a legitimate kind of remote desktop session. A lot of these scammers do, in fact, have things like, you know, go-to-assist accounts. He was probably going to tell me to go to some kind of go-to-assist account and then remotely access my computer, install malware on it, and then charge me to remove it. That's usually the end game here. I was hoping we would actually get a little further, but we got disconnected. I'm sorry.
I was on a call like this once, and I think I had him going for a little while because I was aware.
They called you.
Yeah, they called me probably. They found my number. It was out there, right? So they called me, and I went through the whole thing and over, and the last minute I switched OSs. I was like, oh, no, it's a Mac. And he started cursing me out and then hung up on me. You fucker! Hung up on me. Made me feel better. But one last thing I just want to reiterate in the context of not being rusty, talking on the phone. I know it's drudgery, you know, for the rest of the world, but embrace it. And, you know, don't forget, you can be anyone on the other end of that, right? You can be anyone. You can take on a persona to match the goal, whatever it is you're trying to do. And you can take on, I do this occasionally, take on voices and do more research, getting names. All of that stuff adds to your credibility in that moment. And it is really about the moment and flying by the seat of your pants, getting them on their toes, and getting little bits of information between the lines and the sort of protocols that they're going to try to stick to. That those are the weaknesses in human security, and that's kind of the idea of how to exploit systems like this by interacting with humans.
Yeah, you try to stay pleasant, try to be friendly, and people are a lot more forthcoming with information, and it becomes something that is not entirely obvious that you're trying to get something out of them. Sometimes you have to do this legitimately to get information that you are entitled to. We just had to do that today, in fact. We were trying to track down a lost package, and the delivery company wouldn't give us the information because we weren't the sender. Well, we called them back and said, we're the sender. Here's our tracking number. Here's our address. And, you know, yeah, we're lying through our teeth, but it's our damn package, and we wanted to know where it was. And through that, we were able to help track it down. And there was another time, too. I was in Brazil, and some jackass decided to hijack Network Solutions DNS, and our website was going to Goatsy, and it was just a whole big mess. And so, you know, it's the last thing I need to deal with over there. So I'm talking to somebody at Network Solutions saying, can you please, you know, reset this? And they're like, okay, can we call you back? And I'm like, yeah, okay, I'm in Brazil. I just heard the person on the other end say, aha. Like, yeah, I'm the one lying. It's our site I'm trying to fix, but because I'm in a weird place, I'm the one that has to prove that I actually legitimately have access to or should have access to the information concerning my account. So you will encounter this occasionally, quite a bit actually, where you have to fight the system and learn these techniques for different purposes. But it's also good to have fun, as Alex rightfully corrected me. It's not good to be irresponsible, to put lives at risk. It's good to have fun. There's nothing wrong with fibbing a little bit to somebody you don't know and will never meet. They might ask, are you having a nice day? And you might say yes when you're not. You know, that's nothing wrong with that. You won't go to hell for it. It's also a good way to connect to people. Sometimes people enjoy hearing other voices, and it kind of breaks up the monotony. I remember at a radio station I used to work for, we used to be able to patch together phone lines, and we would simply patch together 10 phone lines and call AT&T. And that's back in the day where you could get operators, and they'd all start talking to each other. Some of them knew each other. Some were in the same room. They had a great time. And, you know, it's just fun on the phone lines. If you're not really using it for evil, I think it's a good thing. Anyway, I'm sorry we didn't succeed in everything we tried to do, but I think we got through to some places and annoyed the Gmail guy a little bit.
Yeah, why not?
If you have any questions for us, just ask us outside.
Anything else?
Have a good time. Enjoy the conference.
Thank you, everybody.